your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 848. My name, as it is on chilly fall days, is Lisa Sheps. I'm joined by my co-hostess with the Mo Hostess, Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
You're listening to both of us on KOOP HD1, HD3, Hornsby, streaming live as we do in the fall at KOOP.org.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
It is Wednesday, October 29th. On the show today, we have the Bottle Alley Theater and their show, The Last Seance of Harry Houdini. And later on, we'll be talking to Austin Rainbow Theater and their show, Sagittarius Ponderosa. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, and beyond. And that's it. We're live.
That's all?
Yep, that song ended fast.
I guess it did.
No time to wait. Hello, goodbye. I'm late.
All right, well, probably because we talk all the time.
Hi, so Nicole,
it was like,
Shiro.
No more for you. Hello.
Well, no, you know what? I timed it out when I recorded it, and I had extra time, but then I just talked more.
And that is what it is.
Welcome back. You got
Thank
lost
you.
Today on the way to the
I didn't get lost. I just went
well,
into autopilot
went
and went the wrong way. And start. I mean, I still headed north, which I needed to do. I just went...
I would like to say getting lost and going the wrong way could be synonymous.
I just went a different route.
I know.
It's those fall breezes just taking you a different way.
Right route.
It's those fall breezes.
I guess it was very windy because I ended up on the Mopac and I was like, whoa, it is very windy as I drive on the highway.
Extra credit if you can tell me what Mopac stands for.
Mopac Pacific Highway.
Oh, my goodness. Missouri Pacific Highway.
Is
because
this an
why?
Acronym?
Because of the railroad.
Because of the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
All right, good.
It's also called Loop 1, and it's not a loop.
It is called Loop 1. I will tell the story that has nothing to do with theater. Well, before I do that, let's introduce the voices that people are hearing that are not you and I.
Okay, let's do that.
We have the incomparable guest co-host of Offstage and On the Air many, many times, Trace Turner. Hi, Trace.
Hello. Good to be back.
And new to the show, we have Cynthia Reifsteck.
Hi.
Oh, you know what I'm going to do?
Turn the microphone on.
Wait, no, your microphone is on.
Yay, hi.
Why am I not hearing you? Hold on. Say something again.
Hello.
Uh-oh.
It's weird. I do not hear you. Your microphone is on. So let's get you switched with other microphones as well.
I love the live portion.
Yeah. Okay. And then that other voice you just heard is Kathleen Fletcher.
Hello. Glad to be back.
It's so happy to have you back.
Yay.
Okay, then I won't say that story because now I forgot what it was.
Hi, hello.
That's okay.
Oh, there you. Oh, you're
on she's on the other microphone.
You're on the other microphone.
I think we're giving up on that mic.
Yeah. So mic 4. Note that down. Mic 4 is not working.
Oh yeah. All right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Listen to us making the sausage here on Offstage and On the Air.
Yep, that's what we do here.
I'll find the book here in a minute.
That's what we do here on Offstage and On the Air. All right. So let's get into it, shall we? I'm going to guess you did not recognize that song that we played at the beginning.
Well, I definitely didn't because I didn't have on headphones, so I couldn't hear it.
Well,
so
you
there's
heard,
that.
You heard the beginning of it. Anyway, and I did not write the name of it down, but it is, oh my gosh.
You went and looked it up.
Yeah. No,
and then didn't write it down.
It is from, oh my gosh.
It's from a musical.
It's from a musical.
I believe
it's a
that.
New. It's a new musical. Oh, it's from Bull Durham.
Is it from Bull Durham?
It's from Bull Durham. Yeah.
I really wanted to hate Bull Durham, and then some of the photos and everything look very endearing, and I am very curious about it.
Yes.
But it's too bad I couldn't hear the song.
That is what it's from. It was a promotional thing, and it was all about baseball, which is interesting because that's what Bull Durham is about.
It is about baseball. Bull Durham is so great. And the baseball is happening right now.
The baseball is happening.
Baseball's happening right now.
It's the World Series happening right now.
I literally didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, they had the longest game ever. They went into 18 innings the other night. That it was literally like two full baseball games in one night.
That's actually crazy. That's so crazy.
It was crazy. Toronto and LA.
Baseball talk.
No, Lisa likes baseball, actually.
Yes, but you know what? Offstage and on the air is not about baseball.
Well, you brought up baseball when you talked Bull Durham.
But Bull Durham is baseball.
I know. It's like we're on the pitcher's mound having a conversation. Just like Bull Durham.
Okay. It's a musical that was performed at Paper Mill Playhouse, Millburn, New Jersey. And it opened, when does it say it opened? I don't remember. Sometime. October 22nd.
Yeah, it was like a week or two ago.
Uh-huh. It's based on the 1988 movie with Susan Sarandon, Kevin Costner, and Mr. Tim. I love Tim Robbins.
Yeah, Tim Robbins is fun.
So it was reviewed for the New York Times by Lauren Colin Hughes, not a fan. Hmm. And she says, quote, Bull Durham comes across not only deliberate, but also miscalculated, as if the creators worried that the movie was a little too adult for a musical theater audience. A little too frankly sexual, a little too unabashedly intelligent, and they needed to dumb it down.
Oh, that's sad. So they took out all the good stuff that made it Bull Durham.
Yeah, so it was written, the movie was written by Ron Shelton, and he also wrote the book for the musical. Hmm. Songs are by Susan Werner, who also did the lyrics. And
those are some pretty good pedigreed people.
Yeah, and it was Mark Bruni was the director. Carmen Cusack was in it. She was the only name I recognized.
I was Nick about Walker. To say, I haven't seen her in a while. Uh-huh.
Yeah, she plays Annie, and Nick Walker plays Crash. And it's been so long since I've seen the movie, I don't remember
John
what.
John Blank.
Yeah.
Well,
I know it's about baseball.
Crash is Tim Robbins, and the other one is Susan Sarandon.
There you go.
Does that help you relate and remember?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
She said the performances are terrific, even arising from a defanged script.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. And she did like the choreography.
Hopefully they do some rewrites and tweak it and see if it's salvageable.
Yeah, Paper Mill, you said?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
There's some time.
Oh, yeah. Total time.
There's total time. So hopefully they take us to heart and don't just shelve it.
What she doesn't say in her review, which is the only review I read, what she doesn't say oftentimes will say, it's got legs. I think it can move if they do some work on it. She did not say that.
Which is what I said after Purple Rain. It's got some legs. Just need to work on it.
Okay.
It's also got some rain.
It does.
What color's the rain?
Purple.
Okay.
Maybe.
So she said that this production is kind of hokey, but the choreography is good. The choreographer was.
It has to be hokey.
Yeah, it has to
be. Like, if it's not hokey, they really missed the point. And yeah.
Choreography is by Joshua Bergesi, who I don't know.
I don't know him.
I don't know Joshua Bergesi either. There's but no credits by Joshua Bergesi's name.
But one of her. I would have said them if there were.
Oh, well.
One of her comments was that the choreography is too good. The dancing is too good. Because this I don't agree with. So before you yell and scream about this, Nicole, she said for a baseball team that's supposed to be not good, the choreography was too good.
Well, that doesn't make
sense. Insinuating that the choreography should have been, that the dancing should have been.
No, because then everybody would have been like, why was the dancing horrible?
I told you not to do what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they're bad baseball players, but great dancers.
That's true.
Like High School Musical.
It is a different discipline. All right. Well, so that was hard to get through. I have a feeling this day is going to be hard to get through. But we did have an opening on Broadway last night, two nights ago. And
it was last night, 'cause two nights would be Monday.
Liberation.
Oh, yeah.
Were you liberated by the liberation? With
and
the
it
people?
Opened on the 26th, which was Sunday. It is, here's the little log line, 1970s Ohio. Lizzie gathers a group of women to talk about changing their lives and the world. What follows is a necessary, messy, in bitingly funny exploration of what it means to be free and to be a woman. In Liberation, Lizzie's daughter steps into her mother's memory and into the unfinished revolution she wants to help ignite and searches the past to find an answer for herself. This was written by Beth Wall And here's something that does not happen all that often.
What?
Well, no, I don't want to say.
I'm excited.
You know what? Before I say that, I should say that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of co-op, its staff, volunteers, underwriters, or anybody else. Because what I'm about to say is very controversial.
Oh.
Give it to us.
Okay. Liberation, the Did They Like It review aggregator, had 16 reviews, zero of which were negative.
Oh. Whoa.
Zero of which were middle of the road, and 16 were positive.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's a play, yes.
Good for them.
Not really controversial, by the way.
Yeah, I was about to say, why was there a disclaimer on that?
Because I'm
supposed to do it anyway.
I'm
okay.
supposed to do it no matter
what
we talk
about. Well, you made it sound like you were about to get in
it. I know. I did that on purpose.
Yeah.
It's what we call in the business a bait and switch.
Yeah, I don't like the bait and switch.
I was going to say the old switcheroo.
That's not good. We don't subscribe to that.
Okay. Well, writing for the New York Times, Elizabeth Vincentelli, who I like, is very complimentary. Oh, and now this one says it opened Tuesday night at the James Earl Jones.
Interesting.
It did have an off-Broadway run last winter, I think, roundabout. I could be wrong.
I don't know or remember.
Oh, I can tell you because I have the Wikipedia page up right here. Roundabout Laura Pell's Theater.
Nice.
Interesting.
I don't know who Laura Pell was or is. Anybody?
No, but no. I'd be happy to figure that out.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry
Not
about
right,
it.
I wasn't doing it
I'm
right
gonna
this
leave
minute.
To go research.
Yeah, please. Well, you laugh. That's what this one does over here. Anyway, it opened at the James Earl Jones Theater. And I think I already said that. And she said, quote, "Not only does its sustained pace make the story downright suspenseful, we quickly become invested in these women and wonder what will become of them. But spending time in their company is also an unadulterated pleasure. Directed with sensitivity by Whitney White and performed by a cast of preternaturally in sync, the production looks at community and individuality, determination, and self-determination in an elegiac and impassioned manner."
Nice. I mean, yeah, Bess Wohl wrote Small Mouth Sounds.
She did.
I'm a big fan of that play.
Okay.
David Zinn was a scenic designer. And it's also got a subtitle, which I like the subtitle.
Oh, I was like, you like a subtitle.
It's called Liberation, a memory play about things I don't remember.
Oh, I love that.
The musical.
The musical. And evidently, and I did not highlight her name, so let's see if it's in the Wikipedia page. I think Susanna Flood, I think she's plays both the daughter and the mother.
Okay.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, because of the physical lookalikeness of the same person.
Uh-huh. I play both my mother and I the daughter. Don't tell my mom.
I won't. Actually, I will, because I know your mother.
She's also listening. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Kathleen.
Pam Fletcher Friday.
Hi, Pam.
She's actually, I believe, involved in the show that we're going to be talking about. Isn't she? Did I not see her name on the costume designer list for the show?
For us?
Yeah. No?
No.
Oh, it must be.
She did some help for
Maybe
us.
Maybe a special thanks.
Yeah. I swear I saw her name on the website.
We just see her everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Never mind. Okay, so she also says, Vincentelli, to end her review, she says, "In a production that just percolates from Queen Jean's costumes, including the especially inspired use of denim, to a cast in the state of grace, if there's a show that can make the case for a Tony Award for Best Ensemble, it's this one. White directs the actors like a conductor leading an orchestra. Each one gets to shine in at least one aria, or speech in this case, but they also function as a multifaceted single organism on stage. When these women talk, we want to hear every word."
That sounds
I
great.
I like that.
Yeah, I want to see it. Whoa.
And it is not an all-female cast. There is one male-identified person playing Bill.
All right, Bill.
Go, Bill.
I love you, Bill. always will. Other critics, Emlyn Travis of Entertainment Weekly said, "Chaussee's lighting design bathes the set in a warm golden hue of the past, and costume designer Queen Jean, great name, kudos for the name, and hair and wig designer Nakia Mathis team up to bring the 70s back in full living color with bold prints, bouffants, and miniskirts."
the word bouffant doesn't get used enough.
No.
You're here.
True.
Yeah, it's a good word. There's some words that I'm like, bring it back, bouffant.
I want to see these costumes. They sound cool.
Yeah.
Denim?
Well, so some of it lived through the 70s.
I was about to say, a lot of corduroy more than, I mean, there was a lot of denim, but there was a lot of
very loud prints.
And polyester. There were a lot of prints. It's funny, as loud of the prints I wear now, I don't think I wore them as much in the 70s.
I did.
I liked the Madras going 70s going into the 80s. I got really into the Madras plaid.
It was very scary. Mm-hmm. All right. Chris Jones of the New York Daily News said, Wohl has such a powerful, enjoyable voice. She makes everyone care about the questions she has herself, and that's exactly what a playwright should be doing. And Adam Feldman of Time Out said,
there are some pull quotes in here that are fabulous.
True. Adam Feldman of Time Out said, Whitney White's direction elicits a triumph of ensemble acting whose equipoise is a perfect realization of the play's own themes.
How do you spell that?
E-Q-U-I-P-O-I-S-E. Equipoise.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's people that are equally poised.
I mean, it sounds pretty
It sounds like that. Yeah. I like that meaning.
It was nominated for Drama Desk Awards, Outer Critics Circle Awards, and Lucille Lortel Awards when it performed off-Broadway. It won the Outstanding Ensemble for the Drama Desk.
Well, I mean, the way they talk about the ensemble, I get that.
It won Outstanding New Off-Broadway Play at the Outer Critics Circle Awards, and that's it.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
So, and I on today on Broadway, the podcast I listened to, they talked about, you know, oftentimes when people move, when shows move from off-Broadway to Broadway, it's a little difficult because it's a different environment. It's a different audience. Usually it's much bigger. Mm-hmm. They said this one transferred really nicely.
Interesting.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because I get worried. I mean, remember how worried I was about Hedwig? I was like, that is not working in a big theater. I was angry about that. I was I also felt wrong.
I felt the same way about Little Shop, and I was wrong about that,
I was wrong about that, too. Although, I felt wrong about it when I went and saw it on Broadway, but then when I went back and saw it on this revival when they did it off Broadway, I took back what I thought. It's so much better.
Well, why can't it work both ways?
It can.
Why can't it not be?
I think also why it worked on Broadway, though, was Douglas Sills playing all the characters, minus Smushnik, Audrey, Seymour, and the urchins. He played every single character.
That's really fun.
They were just saving money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't so fond of Hunter Foster, Carrie Butler.
Okay.
Mm.
we had a loss in the industry at 100 years old. June Lockhart passed away.
Yeah. Like, still looking beautiful, by the way.
Yeah. She, I totally remember her from, she was in Lassie. She was a replacement on Lassie, by the way.
That's how what I remember.
I knew her from Lost in Space.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You're much older than I am.
No, I watched the Lost in Space.
Well, I know, but I didn't.
We didn't watch the Lost.
I was too young for Lassie, but I was the right age for Lost in Space.
I go back and watch some of these, not the Lassie, but the Lost in Space and a lot of the 70s shows. What were people on and feeding us that stuff?
Okay, so how many Broadway shows was June Lockhart in?
17.
Good guess.
That's my guess.
My guess is 19.
19. Anybody else?
I was going to go way under and be like three.
Three. Okay.
I read the article in her obituary.
Well, actually, the obituary doesn't mention how many she was in. They just
mentioned of her obituary.
They mentioned the one that she opened, and that was it. But at least the New York Times, because that's the only newspaper I read. She did two.
Yeah. Wow. I was like, it was
so
peanuts.
Close.
Yeah, but you went over.
You went over.
You went over.
We used Price
there is
right.
No showcase showdown for you.
Dang.
So she made her.
But you got to participate.
Thank you.
She made her Broadway debut in For Love or Money. And then she also did the grand prize. The Love or Money was in 1947. The grand prize was in 1955. Wow. And I thought this was interesting. Here's this. The Love for Money is a middling comedy about an actor and a pregnant vagrant. She won a Tony Award for Best Performance by a Newcomer, which that category no longer exists.
I was like, that's not around anymore.
Brooks Atkinson,
who
had a theater named after him.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I see Bob Tolero in the house, and I was not expecting him here. I wonder why he's here. We'll see.
Because we're cool.
He said that she should be kept under surveillance on Broadway to prevent her from returning to Hollywood.
Oh.
Yeah. That didn't work out for him.
I was going to say, like, in a nice way, like, we want to keep her, or, like, just don't have her go back.
No, I think he meant it in a nice way.
All
right. Lock her in her dressing room.
Okay, we are... I'm looking at the new...
I don't know what to say to that. Like, I'm a little speechless.
What does that mean?
I don't like that.
Wait, you don't like what?
The...
Lock her up.
Lock her up.
Oh, no, it was meant in the most positive terms.
Yeah, but the expression lock her up has a different meaning.
It's a strange way to say it. I don't like that.
Okay, well, okay. very quickly, because we're running out of time, strike averted. The musicians, both Actors Equity and Local 802, came to an agreement with the
First, I
Broadway
thought you
League.
Said strike and Verdon, like there was some new show about Gwen Verdon. I'm like, who's strike?
There is.
That's funny. Strike averted.
And... Where's my article that I want to talk about? Well, I'll just say it. I evidently didn't print it out. We've talked about this on the show several times, but now it's become official. With the Broadway League and Actors Equity, part of this new agreement is the league no longer has to put understudy slips inside playbills.
Yeah.
They are going to put a QR code. And this is what I've talked about on the show twice before. The tours have already been doing that. Mm-hmm. And I hope that they listen to, I know that the Broadway League listens to this show, but the problem with this new system was if you don't look at the board outside in the lobby and you don't click on that QR code, you don't know if there's a replacement. And even if you do click on the QR code, the ones we get on the road just gives you the cast list. It doesn't say that this
tonight's
person is a replacement. Yeah. So you have to cross-check it.
Well, no, I think the QR code is going to be exactly like the insert saying this person is replacing this person.
I'm just saying what the QR code says on the road right now doesn't do that.
No, you have to look at the board.
But they should do that.
That makes sense for on the road because they do trade out replacements and swings much more frequently.
Yeah, but you can, but with somebody, the same times it would take to type out a slip that you print, you could change the QR code, the thing on the QR code. Anyway, don't get me started.
That's interesting. When I saw Gary, a sequel to Titus Andronicus by Taylor Mack,
yep.
There's like this big reveal of all these dancers and they weren't listed in the playbill to like preserve the surprise. So then when the show was over, ushers were handing out all the little paper slips with the dancers' credits.
Oh, that's funny.
So I wonder what they would do in a case like that.
Okay.
Tell
surprise.
Them to look on
we
the
QR We have to move on
probably.
Or we're not going to have time to talk to you for the real reason why you're here. So we are going to go out with there's a new show that I never heard of before, but it's called Hard Road to Heaven. It stars a woman named Jackie Burns who played in Wicked, Hair, and If Then. And it's a country Western musical. Mm-hmm. Hard Road to Heaven premiered earlier this year at Bucks County Playhouse, and it follows the superstar Jeri Dixon as she struggles between the demands of fame and the gospel roots she left behind. Plans to bring it to New York in 2026.
Dun, dun, dun.
And they just released a single, and it's called Shotgun. We will be right back. We are BACK back. I'm Lisa. Who are you?
I'm Nicole.
Who are you?
Kathleen.
Who are you?
Cynthia.
Who are you?
And I'm Trace.
Okay, good. I don't have to reintroduce you, although I'm going to. for the real reason why you're here. This is the company from the last seance of Harry Houdini, great title. And we are lucky enough to have the writer, one of the writers, and the director, Trace Turner.
Yes, it's me.
The other writer, there's only two, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And stage manager, Cynthia Reisteck.
Hi.
And the star of the show, Kathleen Fletcher.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello. that's the name. That's the title of a Broadway show.
Indeed.
It is.
And the star is coming to Austin.
He is.
He is.
Four dates in November.
All right. What are we doing?
FDN. FDNNN. IN.
That's what I always say.
All right. The Last Seance of Harry Houdini. Since I have the writers in the room and I know they are Austinites, I'm guessing this is an original piece.
It sure is.
It is.
Tell us about it. And is the Houdini hole in the show?
You'll have to come to find out if Houdini's in the show, but...
The Houdini hole.
The Houdini hole. I'm not sure what the Houdini hole is.
Yes, there's lore about his hole at the Paramount Theater that he had to create for it. Yes. There's a hole in the ceiling, and they say that's from
Houdini. It's an urban myth.
Yes, doing his, because he did perform at the Paramount. But yes.
I was doing a little research, and he has a pull quote where he was like, "Austin is a lovely place, but I will not be here long."
All right, so tell us about the show.
Yeah, so Trace and I started working on this like a year and a half ago-ish, and it's really inspired by true events that occurred, which was Harry Houdini's wife held a seance every year after Houdini died to try to contact him, and this is based on the last one she did.
Yeah, so their 10th and final seance was in 1936 in Los Angeles at the Knickerbocker Hotel. And it was like a big kind of soiree, a last dash effort to summon Houdini. And it was broadcast on the radio. And I don't know, once I first heard about this historical event, it was just so fascinating of like, well, what happened at that party? Who was there? What were they talking about?
Yeah.
So that was sort of the impetus for the play itself coming into fruition.
Well, what fun.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stars from the 1930s who are there, and it's really fun.
Are there stars from the 1930s that are characters in this play?
Indeed. Yes.
Indeed.
One including Mae West.
Mae West. Played by Megan Majors, I hear.
Indeed. Yes. Yeah.
You're kind of magical with those answers, Lisa.
Well, yeah, because I just pulled up the thing.
I was impressed very quick on the draw there.
Totally, totally cheating. I don't know where I saw Pam Fletcher Friday's name, but it was not here.
In case you were wondering. A little bit on this show.
But I did see it in something. Well, great. So who else, what other famous-y people are we portraying here?
Well,
other than Mae West.
Walter B. Gibson, who is a writer, a comic book writer, and also like Harry Houdini's protege.
Also his ghostwriter
is there. And he's a fun little character who does magic.
Another one is Rose Wilder Lane. She was a reporter and journalist who was actually the daughter of Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Oh.
Another one is Abel Green, the second ever editor of Variety magazine.
I find interesting that the actor that is playing
Abel Green
has the same last name.
Yep. One Max Green, exactly.
It worked out great.
Maybe they did that on purpose.
Probably why you did it. And Kathleen Fletcher, you are an actor in this show.
I am an actor in the show.
And what role are you playing?
I'm playing the role of Bess Houdini. So you might recognize...
Is there any relation?
The last name of Houdini? And maybe, you know, I think they're connected somehow. Yeah, Bess is Harry's grieving widow. And so she was the one that Cynthia was alluding to who held this seance every year for a decade. And so...
And that's truth.
This is truth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I love. I'm all for
like
some historical
fiction.
It's like
the lady at the Winchester Mystery Mansion. The two of them would sit around and hold their seances nonstop. They've always thought of the two of them very similar, except Houdini wasn't building crazy staircases to nowhere.
And, you know, when we portray people from history, we have the luxury of being able to do research on that person. Did you do research on her?
It's so funny you should ask because, yes.
Funny ha-ha?
Funny ha-ha. We did. We did a lot of research. That was one of the parts of the rehearsal process that I really enjoyed is that each actor did extensive research on their character. We did fun presentations for each other. So in this show... which I don't think we've really gotten into, it is immersive and interactive.
Mm-hmm. We do need to talk about that.
I know, because it's pretty special. Yeah. And so it gives that element of like, okay, if someone brings something up, being able to speak from what we know about this character.
Does Bess Houdini have an accent? I think I want her to have an accent.
Oh, oh. My God, no.
That's the accent I wanted her to have.
Yeah. Boy, my husband is dead.
Okay, good. That was excellent.
Thank you.
So this is interactive. This also is happening at the Flower Hill Center.
Indeed.
Which is what?
It's this historic mansion that's on West 6th Street. Growing up here, I never even realized it was there until about
a year ago.
Where
on West 6th?
Do you know where Bar Peached is on West 6th? It's like a block from Clark's Oyster Bar.
Oh, okay.
It's like right over there before you get to like West Lynn and Mopac.
Yep.
But it's just this historic mansion now turned museum that is kind of tucked away in its... flowery gardens and grounds.
It's so cool. It was built in 1877. So everything in there is like being restored, like are all historical artifacts. It's awesome.
So that, I like that is that. Amazing.
I like hidden gems in the city.
Mm-hmm. So we love theater that's in found spaces. So I will count this as one of those.
Oh, yes.
What? How is this interactive? Tell us about the journey the audience will
take. So the play begins on the front porch of Flower Hill, but then very quickly we are invited in, and it's sort of a choose-your-own-adventure style kind of performance. So you can follow characters at will. There are several scenes happening in three different rooms right at the start, and then the audience sort of like ebbs and flows as we move in between different scenes.
Technically four rooms.
That's true.
So if I, as audience member, walk into room one and there's Kathleen Fletcher being best, I was going to say best Truman, which you might want to consider, you know, thinking about that as character reference, best Houdini, and then I go to another room, and then somebody else comes in behind me. Do they miss the scene that I just saw with best Houdini? So do I need to come back multiple times in order to see a full accounting of the story?
By design, I think.
A little bit, yeah. I will say the first loop back on itself, so you're able to catch a little bit more, so you're not totally in the dark, but there are some things that you will miss.
You also can walk around and see a little bit of every scene, but I've recommended to my friends to come multiple times, and they're like, okay, I'm going to see this scene this time. They're very excited about it.
So there is no traditional everybody sit down in a room.
There's about two moments in the show that are more traditional. We're all sitting in chairs and we're all together.
Oh, okay. And how many people can you bring in? How large of a...
We're capped at 40 people inside the historic mansion.
Well, so if somebody wanted to come in and see everything, they'd have to get moving pretty quickly, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it is fun. And I've spoken to people, just like Cynthia said, who are planning on coming back. And I just want to say something else, if that's okay.
Okay, you got really small for just a second.
I really want to say this because I love things that are interactive. And I think part of what's so special is always what does an audience bring. And so, for instance, the other night, there was a moment where I have something private and they were like, oh, please, can I see that too? Or like we're serving things to them, incorporating them in magic tricks. But there was a moment where the audience all wanted to hold hands together. And so it was cool that like someone started it and then all of a sudden everyone in the room, they were all holding hands.
How wonderful.
That's kind of cool.
It is great. Amazing. I mean, and we always talk about it, even, you know, in traditional theater, there is a relationship between the performers on stage and the audience, and that's what makes the show, and that's what makes live theater so special. Boy, I had a great question which just totally went out of my head, because seeing Kathleen Fletcher get so small,
it was a little tiny.
It was a little shocking. So do I bring my kiddos to this? What's the age? What do we do with our kids? I've been recommending it
as like a PG-13 sort of rating. Okay. It's a little on the spookier side, but Kathleen looks like she really
I wish the webcam was up.
The webcam. My mouth was open. I just got excited because, and you know, PG-13, my 12-year-old nephew, he heard the description, was like, oh yeah, I really want to see that. So he's talking about coming, but he's also a kid who's really unique and fun and loves magic and loves things that are like a special experience. So
do you have people doing magic? So some of these actors are actually...
I wanted to know if magic was there, so thank you.
Yes,
or illusions.
There are some illusions, some magic tricks that happen.
There is some magic occurring. It's really fun.
You might even get to learn a magic trick yourself.
Did you hear about the magician that was walking down the street and turned into a candy store?
No. What happened to him?
What happened?
That's the whole thing.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's just about the story about the lens grinder. No, the optometrist that fell into the lens grinder made a spectacle of himself.
There we go.
Okay. PG-13. Wonderful. We are running out of time. What else do we want to say about this marvelous piece before I let y'all go?
It's really cool. We spent a lot of time and effort pulling this together. We have a huge ensemble of 8, and it's a really magical, immersive experience, and I hope you guys get to have it and partake in some Halloween fun.
So you're open now. Oh, that was the question. I want to know if it was spooky season-ish.
Very.
But you already answered that. Opens now. When do you close?
We close on the 2nd, November 2nd.
And are you Thursday through Sunday, or is there? Do y'all have a different schedule?
Wednesday through Sunday.
Wednesday through Sunday. So Wednesdays you can go.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for the industry. Because, you know, a lot of us.
Wednesday is tonight, a good time.
Our industry night is tonight.
And where can folks go to get more information?
Folks can go to bottlealleytheater.com, and that's theater with an R-E.
You do not have to say that with my audience.
Thank you.
Well, wonderful. Thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
And best wishes for the rest of the run.
Thank you. Thank you.
This was the three times incomparable, all three of them, Trace Turner, Cynthia Reifsteck, and Kathleen Fletcher, all of Bottle Alley Theater's The Last Seance of Harry Houdini, playing now through November 2nd at the Flower Hill Center. For more information, you may visit bottlealleytheater.com. And this is from Houdini the Musical, and it's called New York City.
New York!
We'll be back.
Heard of her?
I'm gonna light up the street.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa.
And Nicole.
Nicole and Lisa, that was fun. I could talk forever.
I love it.
Let's zippity doo dah on the local stuff. We have the Biden porn. I don't think so.
No, not
just
at all.
Reference my earlier disclaimer.
Yes.
The Biden Payne awards ceremony coming up this Monday night. Which is very exciting. There's still time to get tickets, and you can get it at the Biden Payne Council website, and just Google Biden Payne, and that's B period Iden period Payne. Be careful, because when you just type it out, it's Biden.
Oh,
Biden
oh
Payne.
Yeah, that could be like you'd be sorting through the searches forever.
Yep. I do know that Ground Floor Theater has been nominated for a few, and that Trace Turner, who just left us, is nominated for a few. Bottle Alley has been nominated for a few, and so that's all real good. I don't know if Kathleen was nominated, but I'd be surprised if she wasn't.
There was so many, I don't remember.
Yeah, there were a lot. They keep adding categories.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, and I've made my opinions known.
Yes, you
about
have.
Certain of their categories.
You have.
And we're about to talk to one of those council members here in a second,
and then he can
yell at me. The other thing locally is Ground Floor Theater just announced their 2026 season.
Yes.
That press release went out just moments ago. And it was announced to a select group of people last Monday night. But we are doing a Yellowface, a new regional premiere of a show called Pueblo Revolt, and a brand new world premiere of Emiliana, a Revolution Cabaret. And then our musical is going to be A Strange Loop.
I know.
Very, very excited about this season. Everything
world
about
premiere,
it.
Some regional premiere, some Austin premieres,
some
premieres.
Tony nominated hoses.
Just some premieres,
yep.
Man.
Yep. Well, amazing, amazing, amazing. Let's do our list. Do you want to start?
All right. I'm like, am I starting?
You're starting.
Well, we have In the Heights with Georgetown Palace Theater playing through November 2nd.
I got to say it last week too. Holy Shimoli is doing Apprehension through the first. At Hyde Park Theater.
La Finis is doing Speak No More through November 2nd.
Jarrett Productions' Mirror Lake is playing through also November 2nd.
Austin Rainbow Theater, Sagittarius Ponderosa. We're going to have that convo soon. Now through November 1st at Ground Floor Theater.
Bottle Alley Theater, we just spoke to them. The Last Seance of Harry Houdini through November 2nd at the Flower Hill Center.
Forklift Dance Works, The Way of the Water, the Colorado River, which we had them on like, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, boy, I wish I could go see
I
that.
I know.
Sounds
it's
so
playing now
cool.
through November 8th.
And that was, they had, I think, four different performances and four different things.
They did.
They always do such amazing stuff.
I agree.
The University of Texas School of Theater and Dance is presenting Macbeth through November 2nd.
The Scottish Rite Theater with Dulce. Through November 9th.
And Broad Theater, who's going to be coming on the show next week, is doing a doctor's visit from November 6th through the 26th at Hyde Park Theater. And I should say that was written by Annika Levkin as part of Ground Floor Theater's GFT Rights program.
Yes, so very exciting. Mary Moody
You can do it.
Northern
do
Theater.
It.
St. Edward's. is doing Much Ado About Nothing, and that is playing November 6th through the 16th.
And they will be with us next week, which is why Bob Tolero was here.
I know.
Because he was a week early.
That's okay. Okay. I can have Bob multiple weeks in a row.
Me too.
And
I would be very happy.
So I got a hug.
I did not, because I was working.
Well, I ran away from the mic.
There you go. Auditions. TexArts is auditioning for Beehive on November 11th. The Stage Austin is doing Titus Andronicus on November 1st.
Easy piece.
Yeah, that's I don't know. I have my opinions. Actually, I kind of like Titus. I like Julie Taymor's version of it.
You like the Taymor Titus.
Adam Adolfo is here, is pointing at me.
You
and
don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're doing, you know?
They could. They could be doing
don't
it with puppets.
Don't judge the Titus so you know.
They could be doing it with puppets. Let's see. I just lost where we were. There we go. Scottish and Rite. Miss Nelson is missing. That's happening on November 7th. And ACC is doing Reefer Madness. Those auditions are on 11-17, November 17th. I should say, Marcus McWhorter is doing such a good job with his seasons. He's doing a lot of very interesting work that is not necessarily community college-y to me.
I love the
Reefer Madness. Mm-hmm. Not a fan, but I like the movie.
Did you like the movie?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Anna Geister's fantastic in that. She's got the stuff.
So I found all of that information on atxtheater.org, which is where you can find all that information. And now it's time, if I can turn this puppy back on, Today in Theater History. Today in Theater History.
Tell us.
Okay, so it is the birthday of one Fanny Bryce, who was born in 1891.
Get out.
I'm not. I'm staying right here. It was the opening of Finian's Rainbow. No, not the original, but the revival in 2009.
They revived that? It's like Brigadoon. It just needs to lay low.
Dial-in for Moida? The original.
Dial-in for Moida? That was fantastic.
In 1952. The Winslow Boy opened in 1947, and Present Laughter opened in 1946.
That's one of my favorite Noel Coward. That's a good one.
I like it, and I really enjoyed the Zach production with Mark Puhey.
Yes.
Really
and
enjoyed
Jamie
it.
Goodwin. Yep. And did I work on that? I think I was a dresser on that.
I don't know. Birthdays were Richard Dreyfuss. Still are, probably. Ken Billington. And one Melba Moore.
I love Melba Moore.
I was really tempted to play, because last week, if you remember, for Diane Keaton.
You played Hair.
I played Black Boys.
And now you wanted to play White Boys.
Melba Moore sang White Boys.
I know, I was about
I came
to say.
Very close to doing that, but instead.
You chose Melba doing?
Pearly.
Oh, that's a good one.
From?
Pearly.
From Pearly. We'll be right back.
I love to set.
We are back. You are listening to Off Stage and On the Air here in Austin, Texas on 91.7 FM. I'm Lisa Sheps.
I'm Nicole.
Her last name is Shiro.
It is. Watashiwa Nikuru desu.
And we have our next guest here. These are folks with Austin Rainbow Theater and their production of Sagittarius Ponderosa, which is playing now through this weekend. Closes on November 1st, and we have the artistic director of Austin Rainbow Theater, Clinton Williams. Hi, Clinton.
Hi, how are you?
And we have the director of this piece, Adam Adolfo.
Hey, Lisa.
Have either of you been on the show before?
Have you been on the show?
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, which is crazy because you have a voice for radio.
I do.
Yeah,
I have a voice for radio.
That was mine. I was going there. Sagittarius Ponderosa. Adam, what's the show about?
The show is about magic. The show is about the family dynamics that we find and how love can transcend all our transitions in life. Ultimately, I've been telling people it's a surprising non-musical musical.
Okay.
There's a lot of contemporary music in it, and people have been asking, Adam, I need a playlist.
It is good music. It's the music of my people.
Definitely.
So, I mean, when I first heard of the show, I didn't know anything about it, But I immediately thought it was going to be something about the TV show Bonanza.
Boy, we're really just talking about the old school stuff today, aren't we?
Yeah. So yeah, so the title Sagittarius Ponderosa, where does this title come from?
It speaks to specifically people who are Sagittarians, but also the Ponderosa pine tree. And yeah. We've done a little bit of stage magic and turned ground floor theater into a magical forest.
It is pretty magical.
Yeah, it's mossy too.
I was about to say, and mossy, but you beat me to it.
Lots of moss. Clint, why is this part of Austin Rainbow Theater's season? What was it? What brought this to you guys?
Well, to be honest with you, I was not the one that chose this season.
Right?
It was my predecessor, Christopher. Christopher Pressler. However, it matches into our theme of metamorphosis. The season's about transformation.
Okay.
The show is huge on transformation. That is
100%
basically what Sagittarius Ponderosa is about. And our next show is A New Brain, which is also about transformation.
It is indeed. It's about not an old brain, but a new one.
But a new one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that is great. And this, who are some of your performers in the show?
We have a C.B. Feller, who I know you know well.
I know C.B. Feller quite well.
And Charlotte Norris plays our grandmother. Christina Manley plays Mom, and she's utterly heartbreaking and devastating.
She's an Austin Rainbow Theater favorite.
To say the least.
Yeah.
We love Christina.
And then there's Ev Lunning, who really delivers the surprise impact of the show.
Ev's awesome.
And it really sort of just guts you in the most beautiful way possible.
Ev is an Austin Theater legend.
I would concur.
Yeah, it's true.
I did not know how big of a legend Ev was until I started reading his bio, and I was like,
Oh, yeah.
He's been around. He worked at St. Ed's for many, many years, amongst other things.
Yes.
You know, amongst his many talents, he's turned into a bit of a puppeteer, because we have a puppet in the show that he handles, and he's quite magical with it. Mm-hmm. It's utterly exciting to see how he animates it.
We call those MPs, magical puppeteers.
Oh, magical puppeteers.
Oh, is that what we call them?
Well, that's the business jargon. That's what we do.
And then rounding out the cast is Jaden Petty, who's a recent graduate from Texas State and is just bringing, you know, every show needs a bit of a heartthrob, and he's our sort of nerdy heartthrob.
Jaden's a huge talent.
Yeah. Well, the show, having seen the show, it is visually stunning and very, the theater is decked out in what we call three-quarter round. What does three-quarter round mean?
It exists in three sides of the stage. The audience is on all sides.
Look at you just educating the audience today.
So the audience is all around, and you seem to be surrounded in a forest. So much you feel it so real, like you kind of almost smell the forest.
Well,
it's funny
you mentioned that, because I am not only the show's director, but I am the smell designer. We have smells piped into that space so that the audience is feeling fully immersed.
All right, I want to know, how do you test, what is the rehearsal process for creating these smells?
Well, for me, it was do I like it, first and foremost, and do I believe audiences can sit 90 minutes and not go, this smell is getting to my head. It just smells like you're walking through a really lovely forest.
I don't notice it anymore. I'm pretty noticeable.
Ponderosa pines.
Ponderosa
pines. Yes, definitely. Some ponderosa pines.
Lisa.
Yeah. So it is quite stunning. What has been... some of the audience reactions? How have the audiences been?
Oh my gosh. The audience comes in and immediately sees the set and is in awe. It's something that we just haven't done before as a company. I mean, we've only been around we're in our third season now, so 2 years. But this is something brand new for us. Building an immersive set like this, our audiences are very much in awe of that.
Well, that is incredible. And so I just taking a tangent for a little second. You had mentioned earlier that you were the new artistic director of Austin Rainbow Theater.
Woohoo!
What is in the future for Austin Rainbow Theater now that you are at the helm?
Well, I...
Get your hard-hitting news here, Lisa.
I know, I know.
The hard-hitting
news. Reference our disclaimer that we made earlier.
Yeah.
My biggest goal with the company is to get us more ingrained in our community.
Mm-hmm. Who is our community?
The queer community of Austin and the theater community as well.
Because that's your mission, is to bring voices to the queer community.
Correct. We are the only theater company in Central Texas that does exclusively queer work.
Yep.
So what I plan on doing is creating a queer playwrights incubator.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very excited about making that happen, as well as like some other workshops, like drag workshops and queer comedy workshops and things
and
like that.
And by drag workshops, you don't mean a workshop that's not fun to be at.
Correct. I mean, you'll come in for like 6 weeks, one day a week, and learn like wig styling, and then you'll come in and you'll have cocktails.
I was doing a pun on the word drag.
See, I hang out with too many drag queens. That word does not mean anything other than queen to me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. And then for your theatrical offerings, you've got a new brand coming up. And did you want to say anything about anything else you've got coming up that you can talk about?
Well, on the radar, I'm trying to, at this point, piece together our next season, which we'll be announcing pretty soon.
Dun, dun, dun.
I would tell you that if my press representative were talking to me now, they would say, please don't say anything until we announce it officially.
She's talking to me. But yeah. Yes.
And I'm a good girl, so I abide. So Sagittarius Ponderosa is wonderful. You're coming up to your final weekend. So we talk about queer themes. We talk about I'm going to use air quotes because I don't necessarily believe it. They may be kind of adult themes. What are the age range that we want to let people, that we suggest people to come?
Honestly, I think it's 16 and up.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good age range. I usually say
I'd venture to even say 13.
Yeah, I would venture to say as young as 13.
There's nothing.
This
you
is
just
really
be,
about a beautiful family.
Sure. You've just got to be a parent that's ready to answer questions.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, and it also, I mean, it's a beautiful show that would definitely highlight things around grief and things like that, and it would open up these conversations. So
sure. So yeah, it does have themes of grief in it as well. Well, that's wonderful. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you that you want to highlight about Sagittarius Ponderosa?
I like saying that this is a show for people who don't know they like theater.
Okay.
This is a great gateway kind of show for people who are looking for their first time at the theater. I think this is a great show for them. It's a little dance, a little music, a little drama, a whole lot of comedy. It's a great night.
Yeah,
great. And Adam, you're out in 90 minutes.
What Adam has done with this show is amazing, and it's gorgeous. And
So when do you close?
Saturday.
November 1st.
November 1st. And where can folks go to get more information?
At austinrainbowtheater.org.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, and I'll see you at the theater.
I'll see you later.
That was Clinton Williams and Adam Adolfo of Austin Rainbow Theater, Sagittarius Ponderosa. Play now through November 11th. For more information, austinrainbowtheater.org. And I went back and forth, but I had to play from Spitfire Grill, This Wide Woods. We'll be right back.
This wide woods was mine. If things was make-believe, I'd walk beneath the branches. I'd never want to leave. If this wide woods was mine, I'd find a sturdy tree. I'd sit myself beside it, and dreams would come to me.
Join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for 2 hours of bluegrass music on Strictly Bluegrass. Our 5 hosts deliver a variety of bluegrass sounds from the latest releases to the early classics. You might hear a few bluegrass numbers on other stations. We, on the other hand, deliver the whole story of bluegrass. Tune us in. Strictly Bluegrass, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Sunday mornings on your community radio station, Co-op.
Lisa Sheps.
Nicole Shiro.
Off stage and on the air.
With Lisa and Nicole.
I've always wanted to do our comeback thing like that because it's they do that on a podcast I listen to called Code Switch.
And you like
it. And they just say their names. And I've been meaning to say, I want to try this and see if
it,
because.
Well, you just said go with it. So I did. I went with it.
I told her to follow my lead. And you know what she did?
I hope it worked.
She followed my lead.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, great. We did it. That was a fun show.
It's always fun.
I want to see the Houdini show.
Houdini is one of those things that has always fascinated
me. Houdini, what Dini, how Dini.
The Dini.
Where Dini. Well, we've just completed our show for this week. Tracy Schultz is next. He's going to tell us what's new. And so that's it. And I'm just going to say so long from us, so long from Lisa, and so long from Nicole.
Sayonara.
Sayonara. We will be.
We could also say the matinee, which means see you soon.
There you go. We will be. It's also a show that happens in the afternoon. We will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And in honor of the cooler weather, this is from Titanic.
I thought of you this morning with this weather.
I love it. This is from Titanic. It's called Autumn. We'll see you next week.
Ciao.
Autumn, shall we all meet in the autumn, golden and glowing. By autumn, shall we still be best of friends, best of friends?